Sports talk conversations with a good laugh mixed in. This is the Sports Talk with Thetford and Ashby podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Hey, Lubbock Sports Medicine, great team of doctors here. People come in from all around this part of the country to let this great group of doctors work on them. Orthopedic solutions for active people, and they can help you and would love to do that. You'll love working with these doctors, too. Go to LubbockSportsMed.com and check them out. And probably don't get your car washed today, but you're going to need it washed here because of this. Oh, Joe's got his
true story. True story, David. And this is about the commercial. Drive by Mighty Wash today.
Yeah.
They're open.
No way.
I swear it, I thought. You just never know.
They're committed, aren't they?
They're committed.
Yeah. It seems stupid, but not that's
no,
good.
No. No, our advertisers are not stupid.
No, they're
no,
not.
No, not at all.
But they can just you can just get it right off.
Yeah.
They just want to cater to whoever wants to come.
Just pull in there and get it. You'll definitely need them here. They're all over Lubbock in the Permian Basin. Up to eastern New Mexico, they're everywhere. All right, we've got some old softballers here that played with us for many, many years. Of course, Randy and I go back to Majan Elementary and to Evans and Monterey and graduated together. And we went to see a movie one day down at the Arnett Benson. It was a new
35 cents.
Yeah, probably, I don't know what it cost. We stayed three times for the same movie. You Only Live Twice. It was old James Bond movie.
I think it was something like
Diamonds
that.
Are Forever.
Hercules Unchained.
Yeah, it was not.
Or Tarzan.
It was James Bond. And we called my mom. We kept saying, we're going to watch it again. She said, okay.
Well, you had to go out and for a dime call your mom.
I know.
It was about what it cost to get in the movie theater.
That's right. I didn't have a cell phone. Left it at home. But anyway, just go a long way. And then Tim Kissner, who has been a dear friend to all of us, and he's evidently his fishing guy. Yeah, he's got his bass tournament shirt on.
He's got all his sponsors on.
No,
so he gets paid to do this.
Shriner's Hospital.
Yeah, let me get
somebody's going to have to hold
here. Come on up here.
He's going to be driving
that
car.
Yeah, there you go, Tim. Now you can talk. Talk into that little silver dot. All right, Tim. How you're still in Louisiana?
I'm still in Louisiana, retired, just living the dream, eating good seafood and fishing when I want to. And
you come up here every now and then for Red Raider stuff.
Yeah, I come up here every now and then. I used to come up here a whole lot when my grandparents were still living, but I'll come up here, and of course Tom and Bingo's is closed now, and that used to be my first stop.
Yeah,
when I'd come to town. But
things have changed.
Don't get that anymore.
Yeah. So your hearing aids are doing pretty good?
They're maxed out on the useful. I've had them about 20 years. I went and got fitted for some new ones last week.
You might be surprised what they come up with in 20 years.
They'll start ringing here in a minute, and I have to shut them down. But other than that, I'm pretty good.
All right, you're from Louisiana. What brought you to Lubbock, Texas?
Way back when, I come out here and try and walk on out of Tech and play ball.
Oh, okay.
And
play baseball.
Go to college.
Now, what year was that?
That was 1971.
Okay.
He's our age or close.
Okay, I was hoping it wasn't
74. He looks a lot older, but he's our age.
And stay here.
All right, so you go out there, and Cal says, come on, walk on.
Well, yeah.
And then did they post a list, and your name wasn't on it, or what?
Well, no, they posted a list, and it was on there for the first traveling team, and I had screwed up and didn't finish one of my classes, and I went ahead and took a no-show on it, and I was 1 credit hour short from eligibility.
Yeah.
But then Cal didn't like me anymore.
Oh, but that's a sad story.
I had fun out there.
I was hoping it'd have a happy ending. But
running around that tree out in the outfield.
He started playing softball.
So you were like one of the last years of the tree.
Yeah. Right. Got to meet a lot of great people down here through that. Ronnie Matson and all those.
Yeah.
It was a hell of an experience when I was here for 4 or 5 years. Then went back to Louisiana and been there ever since.
I thought you stayed. Well, you played softball with us. Was that all just
during college? He commuted.
Yeah.
That was just during college.
Just during college, yeah. Well, I mean, it was after college because I didn't leave here till
they made you.
67.
Yeah. I thought he was here longer than that, didn't you, Barney?
I mean, 77.
Seemed like you've been here forever.
I left here in 77.
Well, he kind of left premature. I think he left about 76, didn't you?
Yeah, 76, 77.
Yeah. One of the funniest stories about Tim, we're playing on field number one. I don't know what they're named now, but y'all know, it was the shorter field.
It's a catchy name.
Yeah, field number one.
Field number one.
And two and three. But field number one, so he's always jacking around, messing with people, and he's fouling pitches off.
Okay? On purpose.
On purpose. And they can't get it. He just keeps fouling them. Y'all have all seen him do it.
They run out of balls.
He just fouls them off. Well, he fouls one off, and you know that street's coming up over that little hill. This lady's driving her car.
Oh.
He fouls one off. It breaks her windshield all to pieces. You remember that day?
Yeah.
I mean, just shattered it.
Yeah.
We thought that was hilarious.
That umpire wouldn't give me good pitches.
Oh, yeah.
Even call it a strike, right? Wasn't a hittable pitch. I just knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
On a sideline or something.
Must have been Alan Allgood.
Yeah.
Alan Allgood. Oh,
I was hitting fungos once out at Tech, and I hit one on to university. And didn't think anything of it. And a little while later, this lady comes around. She goes, well, a ball hit my car and shattered my windshield. And she goes, what should I do? And I said, well, ma'am, I would just look at it as an act of God.
Yeah.
And she didn't think that was funny at all. Yeah. I said, well, the athletic director's right in there. Go see what you need to do. But yeah. Did you pay for the lady's windshield?
Well,
I don't remember.
I probably did.
Probably did.
Yeah.
Well, I was up in Amarillo one time. We were playing in the finals against some Amarillo team, and I'd hit a home run out into the parking lot, and I hear this crash. And I went, I sure felt sorry for that son of a gun. Well, guess whose son of a gun it was?
You?
Me.
Oh, you hit your own car?
My own car. Shattered the windshield.
You ought to know better.
But I was driving that with my hand out the window all the way back to Lubbock.
That's so funny. You thought, hey, oh, that's bad.
Was this the bunch we played Heatherwood Holmes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we got run. We scored 27 or 8 runs and got run ruled.
Yeah, I know. They hit it so hard.
Well, was it Heatherwood Holmes or was it Nelson Paint?
I never played Nelson Paint. So
you did too. You went with the Willa Dundos, didn't you?
I played some with the Willa Dundies.
Remember we got that team together at the Lesbeck because the Raiders had gotten banned from playing in Amarillo because Buddy and Keith Henry beat up an umpire or something. Yeah. So
that was, you couldn't
finally
do that
a story with a happy ending.
Yeah. So
there we go.
So our team got banned from playing in Amarillo, so we put together our own little team. It was all the
who was Mickey McCarty and Musher.
That was Nelson Paint.
Nelson Paint, yeah.
Second baseman they call Crusher. And we'd had a couple of cold ones, and we're sitting on the stand. We're calling him Musher.
Yeah.
And Mickey, whatever we're calling it. And when that game was over, we were gone because Barney could have held his own, but the rest of us.
They were Crusher. Huge. Mickey McCarty was a monster man.
No, but we went to Amarillo that one time, had 120 teams in the tournament, and we lost the first game.
Oh.
To a local Amarillo team that we should have beat badly. And we ended up playing. We ended up winning 15 straight games.
Oh, my gosh.
Played all through the night.
Yeah.
And then, excuse me.
You're good.
At the, ended up playing for third place, and we played Nelson Paint.
For third place. That's a pretty good tournament.
And we went through the whole bracket. I mean, we were slap happy as could be. We hadn't had any sleep. They were hitting home runs a mile long.
We were laughing
and
at
them. We were laughing.
We were falling on the ground laughing every time they hit one.
That's as far as you hit it.
I remember they hit one out to Goose. Bruce Meade hit one out to Goose. It was a line shot. Never got 5 foot off the ground. Goose caught it at the fence, and then he came in. And he was trying to get it out of his glove.
It's like back in his web.
The damn thing was impounded in there.
We used to, I was playing shortstop on some of those, and they would hit it so hard that my second baseman, I can't remember who was playing second. I was like, man, I barely got out of the way of that one. None of that, I ain't getting in front of
it. No, you didn't want to be on the infield.
No, it was. No. You just prayed they hit it out.
Yeah.
You wanted to play catcher then.
Yeah. I'll be catcher. That was fun times. It was what Randy's talking about there, 120 teams. We'd go to Abilene and play and Midland and play and San Angelo, and there were always 80 to 100 teams in these tournaments.
Yeah.
It was phenomenal. Tim, were you with us when we went to La Mesa that time? Remember they had
that
little short field out there? We all were going to hit home runs, and we're all popping it up. we played all night down there.
Yeah.
Played all night in Little La Mesa.
We played all night a couple of times down the post.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the Raiders were—they were big time. They were big time.
Yeah, they were
slow
really
pitch softball. Did y'all go anywhere besides La Mesa and San Angelo and Amarillo? Did y'all go?
Well, when the Raiders busted up, we got a team together called the Crumloy.
Yeah.
And it was two guys out of Amarillo, Dudley and Gary Washington.
Yeah, and two good ones.
Me and Bo from Lubbock.
Yeah.
And then Donnie Wood and Mike Brown and some other guy from Abilene, Jared Moss.
Yeah, I remember
Jared. How could I forget him? Jared, he was my best buddy.
Yeah.
And then
Jared's a good old boy.
Yeah.
And then a couple of guys out of Midland, Odessa, and that team traveled around and all over the country.
Back into it and knock it loose.
Yeah.
And so we won state a couple of times and then went to nationals a couple of times. I think we were ranked like in the top 10. And but we caught Howard's Furniture and they absolutely embarrassed us. A bunch of 50-year-old guys just killed us.
That's funny.
But they brought in probably about a crowd of 5,000. And
are you kidding me?
No, anytime Howard Furniture would play, they would have a huge team.
And where was Nationals? Oklahoma City?
Birmingham, Alabama.
Okay.
Montgomery, Alabama. Okay.
It's all right. It's close.
Yeah.
It's in Alabama.
Yeah. He really didn't have to correct you because really those are close enough together that
he just wanted to.
We could have just gone
on.
That's
okay. I'm used to Joe correcting me.
Yeah.
Well, you knew you were in trouble when the jet landed and all these guys get off with these matching bags and they're about 6'4", 6'5". Whoever had the most money, Nelson Payne or Heather Wood Holmes or some other teams.
But Howard's Furniture, their pitcher was 55 and had the biggest beer gut on him you could imagine, and a big handlebar mustache, and their shortstop was at least 55. He had a gray beard that practically went to his knees, and he was the damn best player I'd ever seen.
saying something.
They were a spectacle to watch, and everybody loved them, and everybody.
So how bad they beat you?
I think they run ruled us 27-2.
Oh, 27-2.
You hit two home runs.
Well, they had Crusher on their team, too.
Oh, did they have Crusher?
They did have Crusher that okay. time. And,
well, the fact is, John only scored two.
Well, all I knew is I was playing in front of 5,000 people on my hands.
No wonder you scored two. Yeah.
Yeah, when you knew Dudley popped up twice for an out, then
you're in trouble.
Yeah, or yeah. Jared.
Yeah.
Or you.
Yeah.
All right. Tim, give us one of your favorite slow pitch softball stories. When you think back on your days, and it could be in the motel room. It doesn't have to be out on the field.
Don't tell the motel room stories.
Well, we were playing in Wichita Falls. Nelson Payne was out there, and Bob Bukowski and I, we were just kind of wandering around on the outside waiting for our
smoking
game.
Weed.
Bruce Meade was out in right field, his big old handlebar mustache.
Yeah.
I got behind him out there, and I said, hey, Bruce. I said, how about I arm wrestle you and whoever loses got to shave her mustache? And he turned around and looked at me and just kind of snickered like, you're right. He's got an arm.
Yeah, well, they all did.
Biggest tree trunks. And I'm like, nice talking to you, Bruce. We're wandering off. But
Bobo, was Bobo playing?
Yeah, Bobo.
Oh, yeah, Bobo played with us.
Okay. Bobo, but he played. Player. I mean, he's on the field.
Kind of, Carl he's and Bob athlete. And me, they kind of called us to flying with Lundy's for all the diving antics and running into fences and all that kind of stuff. But, we had a blast out there. Just,
those are good memories.
One story, I don't know, kind of hard
say
to
it on the air.
Up in Amarillo, getting ready to go to Salt Lake City the next morning, and I took off and dove for a foul ball way out there down the left field line, and it'd been raining. And normally I'd slide, yeah. Well, I stuck. Y'all were in the outfield. Y'all were out there on the outfield behind left
laughing
field.
Laughing at you.
They said it sounded like a .22 going off, didn't they?
Yeah.
They came crawling over the fence because I was stuck. Broke my shoulder. And, you remember that?
I don't remember you breaking your shoulder.
Oh, yeah. It snapped that shoulder. When I hit the mud, I just
You finished the game, though, didn't you?
No, I didn't finish the game. But I did catch the ball.
Okay, you did catch it.
Yeah.
I did catch the ball. There you go.
No.
All right, Randy, what's your one of your favorite stories?
Oh, you know, I've already told all these stories last night.
Yeah.
Everybody looked at me like they were hearing it the first time, and I think I've told it every time we got together.
Yeah.
I got one for Randy and Bobo. We're going to Clovis to play softball, and it's kind of like it was today. It's misty, and it's there's fog kind of around. So we're coming up the New Mexico line.
Wait a minute, is this the one where the police were checking?
The firemen. They were giving out coffee to people. We didn't know that. We just saw flashing red lights up there, and they're pulling everybody over.
Visions of Cheech and Chong here.
Yeah, I know it. So my windows, I'm driving, my windows on my car go down, and Bobbo, I think, I can't remember which one of you is in the back. But he starts throwing stuff out the window.
It's Bobbo.
Bobbo was throwing
stuff. Hey, he ain't here. It was Bobbo.
It was Bobbo. So they thought they were checking for drugs or something. I go, what are you doing? I didn't know, you know. But we get up there, and they're giving people coffee just because it's kind of dangerous out driving, and it's really nice of them to do. So Bobbo then says, turn around and go back. I go, I ain't turning around. We didn't turn around and go back.
No. The firemen went back the next morning and picked up all the. Y'all probably weren't the only ones that did that.
Paraphernalia.
We did have a lot of good rivalries with y'all, though.
Yeah.
The Raiders and Stars. I get one of my fondest. Somebody got a single, and he was on first base. And I used to try and bait those runners a little bit, and I'd bobble a ball or act like I bobbled in left field, and then get a little too far around. Second base too far, and I'd throw behind them.
Yeah.
I'd make them eat that dust trying to get back in second. Then they wised up, and then they took off.
Third. We knew your game.
Oh, yeah.
And Tim would always, he would come up with the ball, and the runners are going to third, and he would look at second and throw to third. All the time, he was looking them off.
Well, he did the same thing.
Well, Tim was a unique fella. A really fun teammate.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You guys were all so great.
And Mattson, they're out of the same cloth.
Yeah.
Got a little bit, a little cocky in them, a little.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you seen Mattson? He's in South Carolina now. Hey, when we come back.
Lives in a van.
These two guys will be over there, and those two guys over there will be over here, but we'll be right back.
Randy Barnett, Tim Kistner.
Sports talk conversations with a good laugh mixed in. This is the Sports Talk with Bedford and Ashby podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
All right, Las Breezes, you're looking for the best steaks anywhere. You go to Las Breezes. They're well known. And all over this part of the country. It's big time. Out in the falls on 114th Street. And get you a reservation and go out there, and you'll have some of the best eating you ever had. These guys probably don't go there that much because it's really good.
But they
steaks.
They do have a bar.
So they have been.
They might be interested in that.
Yeah, there's, I bet they
it's
have.
It's a really nice bar, and then they got an outside area. Probably not so good today, but
it's really cool place. Go to Las Breezes, check them out. All right, Mac Owen did text me and ask me if Randy had a last name, but he
Barney.
Hadn't. Randy's That's always Barney. On us. I mean, Mac's always on us about telling.
What's some
we
nicknames?
Just get to talking.
Barney.
He was just Barney. Yeah,
Mr. Barnett, sir.
Yeah. The star man.
Yeah.
That's what we called him.
What else we call him?
Boog.
Weed Hopper. What did we used to call Barney?
In softball.
It's been Barney.
We called him Boog.
Something else.
Boog. Boog.
Usually to you, it's Mr. Barnett.
Yeah. Yeah, for you, Mr. Barnett, Carl. All right, I'm going to tell everybody's name, Max, so you can get it. That was Randy Barnett, who was on earlier.
Barney.
He's moderate grad, 71. And Tim Kistner, he ain't got out of high school yet, but he's working on it.
Yeah.
And where'd you go to high school, Tim?
Morgan City High, Louisiana.
Morgan City High, Louisiana. Carl, where'd you go?
Coronado.
What year did you get out?
69.
Well, you're like the first graduating class. Well, what was it?
The third, fourth. I did get a participating star. Kind of like you. I just got one.
You got one
did
star.
Did you play any athletics at Coronado?
No, I fell off and I lost it. My star.
No.
What's he saying?
Yeah. What
yeah,
we
you got to get up here.
Oh. Yeah, get closer.
Sorry, you got me started
no.
over?
No, you're good. No. You're good okay. there.
Even closer,
Joey,
Carl.
We'll
even
have,
closer.
No, no.
Closer,
I put
closer
my chin
that.
Out here?
Yeah, right there. That's right there for your chin.
You've heard that
kinda
before.
Kind of like an eye doctor.
Carl's got some nicknames. I've called him Weed Hopper forever.
Yeah.
Because when we were playing together, I think Kung Fu was a big deal, and they had a guy named Grasshopper.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if I nicknamed you or I just adopted it.
No, it was you, yeah. Weed Hopper.
Am I the only one that uses it?
No, Weed Hopper.
Udo. Fred Schuessler gave me the Udo.
I don't even know what that
is. What does Udo mean?
That was you. Udo Beyer.
Udo Beyer, then.
He was a 76 shot put gold medalist.
I never knew where that came from. I didn't.
When he swung bad, he'd go,
East Germany.
Udo.
Yeah. Now it's just Goose.
All right, that's okay, Carl Beyer. Yeah, yeah, Goose is his main one. Carl Beyer. This is Joe Vincent. He's from Odessa. And where'd you graduate high school?
Odessa High School, 1970.
Okay, so you're back with Rodney. And
Rodney was a little younger.
A little after you, but.
But he was my idol.
He was?
Yeah.
Rodney Allison was?
He was so good. I mean,
he was really good.
He was good at OHS, too. And they should have beat Permian that year. That would have broke that 33-year string of Permian victories over us.
Yeah. Rick Leach did it.
Well, and this bunch probably had similar habits that Rodney had.
Yeah, I know.
I might have looked up to Rodney in the alleys of Odessa.
Who's that over smoking? Unless our quarterback.
Well, you know, I umpired a little softball back in our days, and one time Rodney was playing on a team, and after the game was over, he came up to me and he said, "Aren't you Joe Vincent?"
Ooh.
I said, "I'm just shocked. You know, this is Rodney from Tech. He's been a star at Tech." And, yeah. He said, "You were my idol when I was in junior high."
No way.
And I said, "Oh, man, you're my idol now."
What did you do that made you his idol?
I played baseball.
Were you really good? What position did you play?
I played second in high school.
Yeah. Could you hit?
Yeah.
Were you all district?
No. I didn't ever make all district because we had a – Midland Lee was always our tough competition and – they had a good second baseman. Our shortstop on the
Joe, for goodness sakes, that's 50 years ago.
Say you made
you were all district.
Yeah.
Runner-up MVP.
He was. There you go.
One of my classmates used to introduce me as an All-American.
There you go.
All-American, that's the way to do it.
Well, go with it.
And he passed away a couple of years ago, though. So
Carl, you're 72 or 3?
Yeah, I'm not 80.
No, you're not.
No, this guy's 72.
He still plays softball all the time.
Competitively.
All the time. How do you do it?
Oh, stay in shape.
Oh.
Better than drinking beer, laying on the couch.
Yeah.
So you're saying you don't drink beer or lay on the couch?
No.
Oh, okay.
I drink beer, but
not on the couch.
Not on the couch.
I'm afraid I'll get it on the couch. you're still playing. Is the after the game, the go out to the car and just sit around the car and drink beer, or is everybody just get in the car and go ice?
go home.
Well, yeah, both. Yeah, I go out there and have a beer or two.
All right, do you play with old guys or do you play with young guys?
I play with a 70s team out of San Antonio, Texas Rattlers.
And they're all 70 and older?
70 and over.
And you're playing teams that are 70 and older?
Yep.
Could Gary and I make the team?
We all are old enough.
Oh, Gary's not old enough.
75, aren't you?
I'm 70.
Well, I'm going to say 75.
How old are you, Joe?
72.
Yeah. You two guys are the same age.
Yep.
Joe, do you do anything to stay in shape?
Play golf.
Okay, there you go.
I'll go to the gym.
Round shape.
round is a shape. It sure is.
I stay in shape.
Yeah.
Man, you know what I remember about these guys, Joe and Dudley, was when they first started playing in Lubbock, it was with College Inn.
Yeah.
And they were green and gold. Y'all remember?
Yeah.
And they were good. We're like, who are these guys? Do they all live over at College Inn? Did y'all live there?
Mm-hmm. I did.
You did?
Yep.
Okay.
I got recruited from Intramurals.
To come play on College mm-hmm. Inn. Y'all were good.
I played with Snead Hall. I'll tell you a funny story. In Intramurals, we were playing in the dorm league, and we won our division, and Gaston won their division. Well, we had to play Gaston for the dorm room
championship.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So,
should I have turned that off?
Can you not hear? Can you turn it up a little?
What in the world?
we're playing this team from Gaston, and this guy gets up to hit. And back then, they didn't have fences on the fields. I don't know if y'all remember.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So this guy hits it to left field over our left fielder's head, and next time he gets up, Brian Edwards was our pitcher, and he tells Andy, move back. Andy moves back. He hits it over his head again.
Eek.
Next time he says, Andy, he's back at the goal line now on the football field. Dudley hits one into the parking lot.
Dudley
Copeland.
Yeah, pound for pound.
That boy. And then Popeye arms.
Yeah.
I mean, like huge old forearms. Hey,
but that's how I met Dudley.
What?
He still looks that way.
Yeah, he's still. Is he here?
Yeah.
For the deal?
He just called me a while ago.
Is
while we were
sitting
is he here,
still playing? Still playing? Like Weed Hopper? No?
No, nobody's playing but me.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm proud of you.
Yeah, me too. You don't have any sense at all.
And a team out of San Antonio.
San Antonio.
And y'all must travel.
We go all over.
Yeah.
All over.
Bryan Station next week.
How many over 70 teams are there, Udo? I mean, how can there
be? Five?
Oh, in the Texas? World. Oh, in the world?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry. I don't know. 20, 25, 30,
in the
30,
whole world.
Maybe.
So you only got to win a couple of games to be national champ, world champion?
Yeah.
Are y'all world champions?
Well, you're probably playing the same team every week, aren't you?
Well, there's a few. We go up northwest, and there's teams at northeast, all different teams.
Do people die during the games ever? From old age?
We had a guy die.
I didn't mean to be serious.
No, a couple of years ago. He was catching.
Happens all the time.
In Lubbock, he's catching an older guy. Foul ball.
Older than
popped up. Popped up. He's turning around in a circle, and then he just falls down. He's gone.
What'd y'all do? Did y'all haul him off the side?
Did you finish the game?
Yeah.
Pushed him off to the side and finished the game.
No, did y'all finish the game?
No, I think they canceled it. Ambulance took him off.
That's very thoughtful.
Seemed like the thing to do.
Yeah, it was the thing to do.
We're not laughing that he died.
But it wasn't your team.
No.
It was on the other team.
It wasn't his team, Dave.
My team.
And you can't laugh if it's your teammate.
We're not laughing that the guy died.
No.
It's just a funny situation.
Well, we have a senior league in
Lubbock.
Which, by the way, tryouts are Monday, 6:30 at Burl Huffman.
Does Larry Duck play?
Hardly giving them time to
Larry
stretch,
Larry
Duck
Carl. Plays.
Hardly giving them time to stretch. It's Monday.
This coming Monday, tryouts. And then the following Monday, tryouts. And then they have a draft. You get drafted and get on a team. We start, I think, April 1st.
You can't just be with your buddies?
No, you got to be drafted.
Oh,
okay. Frozen. Now, let me ask you this. Does everybody get drafted?
Everybody gets drafted.
There you go.
You'd make
there's cut. Always a lupus out there.
Yeah, I know.
Even,
you can't play.
You two guys could go out.
We could.
Yeah. My fingers hurt.
Monday?
What hurts on that? On a Monday?
Yeah, that's I'm doing my hair Monday.
What? How much do you pay for a bat?
Bats are expensive now.
How much is your bat?
Well, I haven't spent over $240 on a bat.
Yeah, how much is the best bat, the most expensive bat?
They go
what are the rich guys buy?
$300. And these are used ones. They sell used bats for $300.
Hey, Cardinal and them, they had to finally put deals on the bats.
There's people stealing them.
Yeah, so you can't stick them down your pants.
No.
That'd be a whole nother story.
Hey, fella. Let me pat you down. Oh, that wasn't a bat. My bad.
All right, Joe. Yeah, you got a lot of stories. Of course, these guys all play with Buddy Melton, Bo Cornette. Bo's gone. Yep. The Bo Knows Diddley. 2024. That's the reunion.
Yep.
Yeah. Those are some
that's what I got you.
Great teams. I mean, that was Max Martin.
Yeah.
Max
that's an old Monterey Plainsman.
Yeah.
Gary Washington.
Washington, Amarillo High, wasn't he?
Big old boy.
Yeah, he was huge.
He dwarfed Barney.
Yeah. Well, he dwarfed about every. He was, what was he, 6'7 or 8?
6'8.
What?
He's
6'5. 6'5. He seemed bigger to me.
Yeah.
Y'all had some great teams, the Raiders. Y'all ever figure out what your overall record was?
I think it was like 275-3, something like that.
Yeah, something.
And 3. Did the Stars beat y'all all three of those?
Well, I know the Stars beat them every time we played them.
And
that doesn't even make sense.
The third loss was when we got kicked off that game.
It was the Stars.
Yeah, Buddy and Keith had to fight with the umpire, so that was our third loss.
They forfeited the game. Well, you know, back then those days, and y'all will remember this, but the Stars, when we started, we ordered uniforms, and they were fancy uniforms. I mean, Bill McCaslin, they ordered those.
I may still have one up in the attic.
I got mine somewhere.
It's blue.
They were fancy uniforms. And nowadays it's what, shorts and T-shirts, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's a lot better. Because we were hot in, you know, some of those were, that wasn't good. But anyway, there's so many great stories. What's your favorite softball story?
Oh, gosh, there's so many. We went to Colorado Springs 1 year. I told this story last night, and I won MVP. The only wow. time in my whole career I ever won MVP.
Wasn't even all district.
You kind of came on later in life, didn't you?
But I batted 31 for 34 in the tournament. I made three outs in the whole tournament, and, of course, we won it. And Dudley had about a million home runs, you know, and Barney.
And you still
had,
got it.
And I still won the MVP.
They're still
and
pissed off about it.
So on the way home, on the way home, one of the teammates gave me a little deal of hash for winning an MVP. Well, I didn't smoke.
A little deal of hash for winning MVP.
You know,
I thought, less what trophies.
What am I going to do with this? And so anyway, we
what
leave.
Did you do with it?
I smoked it.
Oh, you did? Oh.
And then fell asleep.
Peer pressure gets you, won't it?
Fell asleep. My girlfriend had driven up, and I went up with Bo. We went up in his Corvette and went to the zoo in Colorado Springs a few days before the tournament. And so anyway, on the way home, I fell asleep. About midnight, we stopped and taking a break, and the girls wanted me to drive, and I told Bo, I said, I got to drive. And I said, I can't even stay awake. And he said, well, here, take one of these. And I said, what is it? Truck driving pills.
Truck driving pills.
I took a truck driving pill.
That's the legal version.
Stayed awake for 2 days.
Is that right? It works.
It worked. I drove all the way home. I was just beating all the way home.
Wound up.
Had the radio blast.
Have you ever done it since?
No.
You ever done the truck driving pills?
No.
You okay. You get them at truck stops?
I guess. I don't know.
Just around back.
You can get them from Bo.
Well, Gary and I were talking last night. You know, we played all night in these tournaments, and you were so tired. And we're coming back from San Angelo, and I'm with Parks, and I'm in the front seat, and I'm in the floorboard, and I'm laying my head on the seat, and I'm asleep, sound asleep. Randy was in another car. Y'all ended up across the highway with Gary. Gary was in that car.
Oh, I was driving that one. And you know why I was driving it? Because Randy's bigger and stronger, and I was the youngest guy, so I got...
You need to tell the story. We all agreed to drive 15 minutes, and then we'd switch.
We're going to drive 15 minutes at a time. We're going to get back to your story, but as long as we're over here. So I'm the youngest, so I'm driving. I go, guys, I'm tired. I can't go any further, but I'm driving. So they're going, you're doing great. It wasn't a minute later. I am asleep. I am across the highway in the other bar ditch,
yeah.
And we're just, and I stop the car, and they go, you're not driving anymore. And I said, well, yeah, I tried to tell y'all that when we were on the road.
Well, that same trip. It was from San
same
Angelo.
Trip. Got through about 5 in the morning.
I'm sleeping in the seat like that, and Parks is driving. And we end up, I've only got 1 minute.
Well, you can do it in a minute.
I wake up, and we're in Ropesville, that's where my mom and family's from, so I know where we are. And instead of saying, why are we in Ropesville, and we're in the ditch, going down the ditch, I just laid back down on the seat and went back to sleep.
So we'll get home eventually.
Yeah. A little later on, I woke up and I said, hey, were we in Ropes a little bit ago? He goes, yeah. In the ditch? And he goes, yeah, we've been in the ditch a bunch.
All right, Jovi, next time y'all have a reunion, you're welcome back on the show.
We love having
you
guys.
As long as we're still here.
That's cool.
Weed Hopper, you're welcome too.
Well, thank you.
You bet, Tim. Thank you. Barney.
Thanks for having
everybody's
us.
Everybody's welcome.
Carl Beyer, Joe Vincent. And these are dear friends from a long time, but still are dear friends. But Randy Barnett, Tim Kister, we had more fun through the years. And I think if you drive over to Clovis, you can pick up that sack. It's still out there, Randy. That little.
Anyway, we'll be back.
You did, didn't you?
We'll be back right after this break.
Sports talk conversations with a good laugh mixed in. This is the Sports Talk with Thetford and Ashby podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
McGavick Nissan and Infinity of Lubbock. That is Brent McGavick, Steve McGavick, and you'll see Brent on the commercials, and they got some big deals going on right now. Closing out the 2023s, bringing in the 24s. They got some really great deals, Nissan and Infinity. This is one of the top dealerships in the country, y'all. Family-owned right here in Lubbock, and they will do you a great job. Stop in and see them out on Spur 327 and Milwaukee Avenue. McGavick Nissan and Infinity of Lubbock. And join the Red Raider Club. I heard a great commercial that Kirby did, just listening to the radio, to the broadcast of the game when I was out moving around, and he was just talking about what they do and how great it is with the Red Raider Club, and Alfred can relate to that. He's familiar. That was way back then.
Yeah, Red Raider Club.
We had the
back
Red Raiders.
Alfred.
Yep. Those were good days, weren't they, Alfred?
No question. No question about it there. Well, you know what? From far away, it feels like days are as good and better. You know, no better time to be a Red Raider, I don't think.
I agree with you.
No, that's exactly right.
All right, you were going to tell us the story about when you got your
new pair of glasses
at basketball practice.
Nothing like having friends like Scott Kelms who keep my business out in the streets. This would have been after I graduated, and I was the basketball SID, and working with Gerald Myers. And I don't remember what the circumstances were, but our roster got down to under 10 players. And, for some reason or another, when we were on the road, he needed bodies for basketball practice. Got it done somehow while we were at home, but when we went on the road, there weren't enough people to fill up the spots. And so I was recruited to stand in a spot during practice. I don't even remember where we were, I thought I was up for it, and apparently I wasn't. I wasn't real accustomed to game speed or practice speed. I thought this pass was coming my way, and I thought I was going to be able to handle it, but I didn't. It got me square in the forehead, knocked off my glasses, and I had to had to go to Plan B.
Well, what was Plan B? Tape your glasses back together?
Yes.
Well, I remember that time, Alfred, and I remember what the team got short in numbers. And it's a lesson for coaches. Don't check the rooms. Go to sleep and get up in the morning.
Don't have too many rules either.
You got too many rules, they'll break them. You remember that time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, now it's coming back to me there, and I guess I would have soon forgotten that to protect the innocent.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. I could give a couple of names, but I won't.
We're gonna save the whole story for a few more years, and then we'll break it out.
Yeah.
Give people something to look forward to.
We probably need somebody to die out before we can tell everybody.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. I may get one of them on the show, and we'll relive those moments when Coach Myers checked the room. Anyway, it's Alfred and just – it's kind of been a dream life that you probably had. Did you have any idea this is what you wanted to do? I think you probably did. You had a pretty good grasp on. You may not have known what it was, but you knew it had to do something with sports.
Oh, no question about it. Fully forthcoming there, I have had a charmed career in the sports management and sports administration industry. I thank Coach Robinson and Ralph Carpenter, and I got to throw Cal Segrist in there as well, because had not he been in Houston for a summer college league and struck up a conversation with me about where I was planning to go to college and what I was going to do, Tech might not have made it to my radar, and I also thank Coach Segrist for, giving me a chance to, work beyond sports information. You know, it was Coach Segrist and I hanging out and talking about how we promote Tech baseball, and that's where the concept of the double T dolls and we used those young ladies to help spread the word about Tech baseball games. And you know, that was really my first taste of sports marketing. And my gosh, from there, I went and was a part of the team that created the corporate partner program for the NCAA. That was helpful for me getting my first commissioner's job, working for the NBA and even doing some of the things I'm doing today. When people say from here, anything's possible, absolutely. For the love of Texas, anything's possible.
Yeah, you're a living example of that.
Real quickly, whip through your career and what you're doing right now, other than being on our show. What are you doing?
Well, today I'm back in Kansas City. you know, a couple of years ago, you know, my wife had some tragedy in her family, and she and her siblings were talking and thought that it would be a good idea for all of them to live in the same city again. I was working at the college football playoff at the time, managing marketing and premium seating. And she asked me to go home. You know, she followed me around for 30-something years, and you know, I thought I would grant her that wish. You know, I've come back here. I've opened up a sports management and sports administration practice. It's called ABW Building Bridges, and you know, really, it's a service that I provide for folks that are either in sports management or sports administration, and are kind of stuck, and they need help getting from one place to another, or it's people that aren't quite in the space and want to get into the space. You know, over these 40 years of being in this industry, I feel like I've got a reasonable enough network that I can help people get from just about any place to where they want to go. And so I've got a variety of clients that I work with. I've even got a client that wants to be involved with the Tech Collective. And so I'm trying to get them to pass muster on this concept so that we can help you know, tech athletes fulfill their financial dreams off the field. But you know, I'm also you know, doing some really cool things in NASCAR and ESPN bowl games and things like that. You know, so if there are Red Raider business owners out there that want to get into some of those types of things, I'm a resource for them.
Well, tell people how to get a hold of you, Alfred.
You know, so the website, I'm going to put it in the chat here in a little bit. But the website is alfredbwhiteconsulting.com. But I'm happy to help however I can.
All right, great.
And you really have, you've developed so many contacts through the years, Alfred. And it all started with you walking in as student assistant sports information at Texas Tech, and that is a great story in its own right. But well,
that's about the same time Hornaday came, isn't it?
Yeah, right around Hornaday's time, wasn't it?
Yeah, Joe came a little bit after that. You know, it was Ralph Carpenter was the SID, Keith Samples was the assistant SID.
Yeah,
And that was before, you know, Keith, you know, ran off and came a famous movie producer. Those were some really cool times back then.
Now, you were in the movies. You were in the movie Murder at the World Series is what I'm reading here. Is that true?
Gosh, Scott didn't miss a trick, did he?
No, Scott didn't give me that one. That was in a bio that I've got here. You were in a movie. What was your role in that movie Murder at the World Series? I haven't ever seen the movie.
Yeah, so it was a made-for-TV movie. I think it only appeared on air once because I don't think it got all that great of ratings. But it was a movie about a murder at a mythical World Series between the Houston Astros and the Oakland A's. And I played a player that I wonder if anybody even realizes or remembers. A fellow named Jim Holt. He wore number 38. You know, I was working for the same summer college baseball league that where I met Coach Segrist, and the producers of this show, you know, were looking around Houston for some bodies, and they weren't finding a whole lot of you know, college age players of color, and so I was a PA announcer in this league, and they found all of the Caucasian players they needed for both the Astros and the A's, but they didn't have a whole lot of players of color, and so I put on a uniform that day.
And in the movie, and you were in the movie. You saw yourself in the movie.
Yeah, I saw myself as a blur. You know, I didn't have a major role by any stretch of the imagination. I was somebody that was, I guess, dog piles were just getting started back in those days. I was a part of that.
So you were number 38. So that's who we need to look for.
Yeah, look real hard. You may have to hit the slow mo and stop button there, but you'll be able to find me.
You didn't win an award for the acting in that one, I guess. But
no, I watched the Oscars that year.
But, just in case,
I didn't understand.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Are you pretty well amazed at the changes in Texas Tech's facilities and just the? Oh, I don't know, the money being thrown at all these sports nowadays as compared to when you were out there?
Amazed is kind of putting it mildly there. The amazement is not only at Tech, but all across the country. I'm a little bit on the nervous side as a fan and worried if we can keep up, you know, because you know, the arms race has never been any more prevalent in college athletics. And you all probably read yesterday or day before about the new college football playoff deal that's being signed by the by the board and the board of managers. You know, where the SEC and the Big Ten are getting more than the ACC and the Big 12. You know. I'm having a tough time understanding, how that could be, and it's all about money. I guess I'm a purist. I came up in a time when it was supposed to be about the student athletes, and I think I don't know, Gary. It's better now for student athletes than I think it was when you were a player. To think that you've got a volleyball player that's got to get on an airplane in Los Angeles and go play a match in Piscataway, New Jersey. Doesn't seem like that makes a lot of sense to me.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't, and I think eventually they'll figure that out. Did you say that deal has been agreed to? That's going to give the SEC and the Big Ten more of the pie than the others?
Yes. It has.
I heard it was $22 million for every school in their leagues, and A&M was. I mean, the Big 12 is down to $13 million, something like that.
There's somewhere in the neighborhood of a $10 million per school gap.
Well, I will say this right now: that might be right that the SEC and the Big Ten might be a cut above. I think the SEC, everybody would agree on Big 12. I'm not so sure of that, but what's fluffing those teams up as they're playing each other. So how do you know unless you mix it all together? Because there's been times where the Big 12, the Southwest Conference, was the best conference, but we didn't divide up more money at that particular time. It's ebbs and flows. But now you're not going to have any ebbs and flows because the money is flowing to those two conferences and all of those schools. Tell me that Vanderbilt deserves more money than Texas Tech.
Yeah.
You know, goodness sakes.
I wonder how long they'll even keep Vanderbilt around.
Yeah. If they get more money without them, they may get rid of them.
Yeah.
Here's the deal, Alfred, and I heard this yesterday, and I don't know if there's any truth to it at all, but the Big Ten and the SEC are going to start cannibalizing these other conferences, the Big 12 in particular, and Texas Tech is being pursued by the SEC. It looks like we're going to go to these huge monster conferences with the top 64 teams or the top 58 or whatever it's going to be. But I heard that Texas Tech is being pursued by the SEC. Have you heard that?
I have not heard that, but I think anything's possible, and I wouldn't be surprised.
But this thing's it hasn't settled out yet. I can tell you that. I don't know what's going to happen.
And here's something that, because you're around this all the time, I really feel like you got to peel football out of it and then gather up the rest of them, get back to regional conferences like the Southwest Conference used to be. And that way,
your volleyball team you talked about can go from Lubbock over to Fayetteville or whatever.
You've been listening to the Sports Talk with Thetford and Ashby podcast from Double T 97.3. Catch the show live Saturday mornings from 9 to noon on Double T 97.3 FM or on the Double T 97.3 mobile app.